The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, like I say, with me now. So, Sean, after much machinations, public and private, Fianna Fáil have a contender.
I've literally gone all day avoiding traitor spoilers.
Until
I stepped into this studio and you ruined it for me.
Go away, will you?
I was at, because, and I'll tell you why, I was at the Fine Gael parliamentary thinking last night, right? And you know the way these things, you call them the thinking, they're really the drinking, and there's Gargoygate and all that out of it.
And they're in televisions, no?
Well, I ran into a Fine Gael staffer this morning. I was like, oh, what time did you leave? And said, I was in bed in the hotel room in time to watch the traitors on the plus one at 10:30.
No way.
So that's how they've changed. But yes, look, there was no real traitors for Fianna Fáil today. Mostly faithful to Micheál Martin. Definitely more of a vote than Billy Kelleher we thought would get, despite his team telling us before that it would be 28 or 29 votes. We didn't believe them. He actually got there and made it pretty close. But Jim Gavin is the nominee. He is the one who's going to contest this election for Fianna Fáil. And we heard from him for the first time today. He came out and did a little short press conference after his announcement and after his confirmation. And then literally in the last half hour, I've just done an interview with him. The full thing's going to be on the Let Me Explain podcast tomorrow morning. But I did kind of a quick fire questions because we all know Jim Gavin, the Dublin manager. We don't really know Jim Gavin, the politician and presidential candidate. So I started, and we'll tick through a few different ones in this clip, but I started by asking him, the marriage equality referendum, the abortion referendum, what way did he vote?
Yeah, so in terms of the marriage referendum, I'm very much into equality. I voted yes, and I think that sent a really strong signal to the world that, you know, Ireland is an inclusive society where we respect each other. In terms of repeal of the Eighth, morally a difficult question was posed for us all in terms of that referendum, but ultimately it comes down to what's right for a woman, that a woman needs to decide and make her own choice, and I voted yes.
Cathal Erdoğan-Connolly in particular has been very strong on the issue of Gaza and Palestine. What's your own view as we see further attacks today from Israel on Doha and another country? You've obviously served time in the Defence Forces and have been in the region. Would you classify what Israel is doing as a genocide?
I certainly would. I think it's unconscionable what's happening in Gaza. First and foremost, the bombing of children and women needs to stop now. We need to get aid into Gaza immediately, and we need to get the women, the children, and those other people who are injured, get them out and get them the attention that they need. Like, it's unconscionable, you know, that we have a man-made famine in 2025. So from my perspective, you know, in terms of military objectives, I'd say they have been achieved. I would question why the bombing continues, so it needs to stop.
Mm. The Occupied Territories Bill then, is that something you wouldn't have an issue signing that into law if it came across your desk as president?
I certainly wouldn't.
No.
But one would need to, you know, that's my personal opinion. Right now, I'm not Duke Donald Aaron. It's my ambition to be, and I need to, you know, express my opinions, obviously. But certainly, as I said, the fighting needs to stop right now.
Mm. What's your view on a united Ireland?
I'm a constitutional a Republican at heart. I believe in the Constitution. The Constitution is very clear in terms of a united Ireland, but it's also very clear, as we know from the Good Friday Agreement, that it has to be a consensus from both jurisdictions, as is mentioned in the Constitution. For me, the presidency is all about building on the great work that was completed by President Robinson and others before her, in terms of reunifying people in the first instance, and then we can focus in on the territory.
So is it something you would campaign for actively as president?
I would campaign for reconciliation. I would campaign for and work in the border counties, work in the north, bringing the communities together, building on the relationships that already exist, and maybe, you know, building new ones that might need repair or were never there before. So I will be an active president. That's my ambition, to be in the north and speaking with both communities.
Two very brief final questions. Are you proficient in Irish?
So a couple of focal ago, I went to the Gaeltacht as a young teenager in Rossmuck. I have a great passion for the language. I'm a member of Áras Cronan and Clún Dúnchán and Incladogan, but I'm not fluent, and that is one area that I'm very keen to brush up on.
And very finally, the most scurrilous rumour, of course, that's been put out of about you to date is that you're actually a Fine Gael voter.
Well, that's simply not true. I've never endorsed any political party, none in my time, for the reasons I've explained. As a member of Oglin na hÉireann, well, legally you can't do it, and I carried that ethos into my 15 years in the public sector. I get multiple photographs with people from all walks of life. What they do with those images is really a question for them.
So you didn't know that banner was going to be added to it?
I certainly did not.
All right. He studiously avoided actually answering that question. You said you're a Fine Gael voter. He said, no, I've never
endorsed anyone
publicly before, which wasn't the question you asked him. Mm-hmm. I mean, is Jim Gavin, has he been a Fine Gael voter? He might well be on the basis of that interview.
Exactly.
He didn't actually answer that question. So that was interesting. I guess relatively non-controversial views, everything else, pretty kind of mainstream and down the line. You'd want to do a little bit better than that between now and the presidential election, or were he to win, to find himself in office. What about, though, the suggestion that this was a referendum on Micheál Martin's leadership and that it's damaging to him that 29 senior members, some of them of his own party, listened to the Taoiseach and the leader of the party say, this is the man I want for the highest office in the land. And they said, nah, we'll go our own way.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument that Micheál Martin is undermined by today. I thought anything over 25 would spell a little bit of trouble for him because it was, you know, relatively close in the end and certainly better than we thought Billy Kelleher would do. And in fairness, Billy Kelleher apparently gave a cracking speech when he was in there. A lot of the TDs were saying that to me and really put it up to them to make a choice between a Fianna Fáiler and someone who isn't a traditional Fianna Fáiler. I don't know how much it damages him. Again, it probably depends on how well Jim Gavin does.
Like, if he's a flop,
then you're in trouble and people will ask questions about your judgment.
If he wins the presidency,
you never have to say you're sorry, you know? And it was put to Micheál Martin today as he came out as, look, you're damaged by this. This spells the end of your term. And, you know, one question in particular that riled him up. Here's a bit of the clip.
He is extremely well known throughout the country, has served in Óglaigh na hÉireann. And in peacekeeping, which to me is the most noble duty anybody can perform, is the role of a peacekeeper. And when asked by government, took up the role in terms of the chairmanship of the North East Inner City, there in terms of helping the community to recover from very significant challenges that community faced. So we're dealing with a very competent, capable, well-known person. And presidential elections are the most arduous, the most challenging of them all. Could I say to you, Senan, and with all due respects to headlines this morning, there was a referendum on Micheál Martin's leadership. It was less than a year ago. It was called the general election. And I think the people gave their answer.
There you are, fighting words. I noticed it didn't stop Senan writing a piece for the paper, and it's already online suggesting otherwise that this is a referendum on his leadership. Billy Kelleher is with us, the Fianna Fáil MEP. Billy, hard luck on the contest today. Are you disappointed?
Well, look, obviously you go into a particular contest like that to win. I thought I had the credentials. I presented them to the party. I campaigned over the last 2 weeks. I engaged extensively with individuals. And then today I addressed my parliamentary colleagues, but I was short at the end of the day. So I just want to congratulate Jim Gavin and wish him well and his family well in the terms of the campaign that's ahead. But I think when I started out this, you know, I was talking about the fact that we would actually have to have a contest in Fianna Fáil to discuss the type of candidacy, the type of president we wanted, the values. And I think at least we had that discussion over the last couple of weeks internally. And now we have made a decision and we get behind that candidate and we start campaigning across the country for those values to be now represented in the Áras.
And will you campaign and canvass for him?
Well, I'm a member of Fianna Fáil since I was 17 years of age. So every election that we're involved in, I am actively campaigning. I've consistently done that. Today in my final summation, when I was addressing the parliamentary party after the vote, I was very clear on that, that we must go out. Jim has the same values as I have. You know, he's the Fianna Fáil candidate and I want those to be reflected in the presidency. So yes, I'll be campaigning vigorously and actively as I've always done for Fianna Fáil.
Do you think he did vote for Fine Gael in the past?
I haven't a clue, and that's the sanctity of the, that's the great thing about a democracy, is the sanctity of the ballot box, that people can go in without fear or favour and vote according to their own opinion. And that's something that I think is sacrosanct and should never be questioned. You know, if a person goes to the ballot box, they're entitled to have that vote cast without people prying beyond asking a simple question. He said no, so I accept Jim on that.
Well, I'm not sure exactly said no. He said he never endorsed another party or a candidate. Didn't say whether he voted for them in the past or not. But listen, as Mary Lou would say, Tweedledum, Tweedledee, no difference between the two parties anyway. Billy, though,
there is substantial difference. There's substantial differences in certain key areas. There is indeed. And they will remain because, I mean, the coalition is the, you know, the common denominator. Well, I mean, if Fianna Fáil was in government on its own, it would govern differently. If Fine Gael was in government on its own, it would govern differently. It's a programme for government between two parties that had to come together. So, I mean, the common denominator, obviously, the bar
what would you do? What would you do differently? What's the main thing you'd do differently with Fine Gael?
Well, I think there would be stronger emphasis on certain areas. I mean, certainly, if you look at Fine Gael historically and versus Fianna Fáil, there would be, you know, significant differences. They have closed the gap, I accept, but there would still be
if they weren't, if Fine Gael weren't in government, Fianna Fáil would govern differently. What would you do differently? What would you do differently tomorrow if they weren't in government?
Well, in the whole area of housing, for example, which is a very key area, the biggest area facing Irish society and the Irish economy is the issue of housing. I think there was a more of a laissez-faire approach in previous governments that Fine Gael were in, and I'm just making the point that, you know, Fianna Fáil is willing to...
To remind you who's been Minister for Housing.
Yes, but I'm just making the point. I mean, the efforts were made in terms of trying to, stimulate the market in a different way. Fine Gael would have different priorities in other areas. I'm just making the point that there is differences, and, you know, they are ones that are...
More direct state investment if Fianna Fáil were in power on their own. Fine Gael want the markets to dictate.
Well, I think there would be more emphasis on state intervention in certain key areas. Yes, that is a fact. I mean, you know, Fine Gael would be more laissez-faire in certain areas of the market, and Fianna Fáil wouldn't. I'm not saying anything that I think most people wouldn't accept as factual.
So do you suspect, or do you subscribe, Billy, to the view that Micheál Martin has personally damaged his leadership of the party today, given how well you did?
Well, I mean, what I subscribe to is the fact that we got involved in a democratic process within Fianna Fáil. Jim Gavin was nominated by members. I was nominated by members. We had a very robust internal debate. A vote was taken. I can't see how a vote in a democratic party like Fianna Fáil that has been around, you know, 99 years would be considered divisive. I mean, the purpose of a democratic party is to, you know, debate the issues and come to either a consensus or a vote, and then the majority carries the day. So I don't see that as being a referendum on Micheál Martin's leadership, as he said.
No,
already,
said, and you've said publicly, Micheál Martin has been hammering the phones, and was hammering the phones as soon as Jim Gavin's name was made public. And an awful lot of those people he phoned listened to what their party leader had to say, the Taoiseach of the country had to say about the person he wanted for the highest office in the land. And they said, no, I'm doing my own thing.
Well, they did their own thing. And I mean, look, I mean, at the end, I wouldn't have put my name forward if I didn't believe I was a credible candidate. I spoke about what I envisaged in terms of being a campaigning candidate, and then in the context of if I was elected, what the presidency would look like if I was successful. A lot of people in that parliamentary party know me for many, many years, not just personally, but politically and professionally as well. And they would have been seeing me over many, many years working on behalf of the party, promoting certain issues. Some of them very divisive, that actually were very divisive in Fianna Fáil, for example, the 8th Amendment. I was very much involved in that as the Fianna Fáil spokesperson in health, to try and move that to a position where we could have a referendum, taking it out of party politics, trying to be, you know, consensual in trying to get to a stage where the Irish people could make a big decision without fear or without, party involvement. So those type of things, you know, people appreciated. They've also seen me working up close and personally, in debates, campaigning. I have walked with them, and I have walked for them over 33 years. So for many reasons, you know, there was good support in that parliamentary party for me. But at the end of the day, not enough. And Jim Gavin is a successful candidate.
I voted for all of the political parties in the past, as one listener. I don't think it's unusual. Micheál Martin, oh, here's the conspiracy theorists are out. Micheál Martin's not anxious to have a Fianna Fáil president because he wants to run the next time. There you go. He's hoping Jim will lose.
7 years ahead.
He was worried you'd win it, Billy. That was the problem. Go on.
I actually think that, you know, like, there's three front runners at the moment: Jim Gavin, Heather Humphreys, and Catherine Connolly. There may be one or two more come true in terms of Sinn Féin may select a candidate. I'm not sure, but
sorry, Billy, just on that point, in terms of other candidates coming through, we had a diktat from Fine Gael, a whip of county councillors, you're not to support anyone. In fact, you're to vote against them. Nothing official from Fianna Fáil yet, but the two county councils yesterday, Mayo and was it Dunleary, who both had a vote yesterday, they were whipped, which would suggest a diktat is coming. Any word on that?
Well, look, I mean, it's highly likely that the party would encourage councillors not to nominate another candidate that could actually be standing against the candidate that has been selected by the party. I mean, that makes sense from the point of view of if Fianna Fáil is running a candidate. They want this person to win the presidency. And the idea that we would start nominating or facilitating the nomination of other candidates, that may not be reflective of our values.
Yeah. But do you expect that message to come from on high to county councillors over the next couple of weeks as councils vote?
I'm always reluctant for on high to issue diktats, but it certainly should, I think, would make eminent sense from the party's perspective that they wouldn't facilitate the nomination of other candidates due to the fact that it could undermine the chances of we winning the presidency and having our values, our beliefs in Áras an Uachtaráin.
Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP. Billy, commiserations today on the contest, but thanks a million for speaking to us. Sean, if both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael whip councillors, and listen, the odd councillor will do the odd solo run.
Yeah.
We know that's their want. But does it completely shut the door for independents?
Pretty much, yeah. It's pretty unlikely, because even among the independents aren't a homogenous group. There'll be left-wing independents that won't support a right-wing candidate like Maria Steen or somebody. So it would pretty much close the door on anyone else coming in. And that seems to be the way it's going. It looks like it'll be the smallest field since 1990.
All right. Well, you can listen to what Jim Gavin had to say to Sean in more detail on his Let Me Explain podcast. That episode's going up
tomorrow morning.
Sean Defoe, our political correspondent. Thanks a million. Back in a moment. Ivan Yates, formerly at this parish, of course, is with me. Ivan, were you surprised that Billy Kelleher ended up with 29 votes at the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting?
Yeah, on Sunday I would have said 27. Yesterday I would have said 25. When I heard that they were allowing 22 proxy votes, the issue wasn't in doubt, like they weren't physically in the room, that they were predominantly for Jim. What we actually learned of deeper significance today is that there is no chance that Micheál Martin will lead Fianna Fáil into the next general election. And I would say very shortly after the presidency, EU presidency, July to December 26, the moves will be afoot. And today was something of a proxy on the leadership, but he's moving towards lame duck territory.
What does that mean? What does that look like, a lame duck leader?
When I tell you to do something and you say feck off, that's what it means.
But how does that translate in terms of the functioning of government? Does it have any impact on the functioning of government?
Well, it could. It just means you can't deliver things you thought were a slam dunk. But I don't want to overstate it, but I just think it's the first fracture in his leadership. He's the longest serving leader in Fianna Fáil bar Dev. He will have done 15 years. He'll get the EU presidency. But people will start to focus in 27 on the rotation. In November 27, would it be better to have a new leader start off as Taoiseach, like happened with Harris? And secondly, I see no circumstance to lead the party into the next era.
If Jim Gavin romps home, though, in October to the Áras, might that solidify his position as leader?
No, because this wasn't about Jim Gavin or Billy Kelleher. This was about the manner in which they were kept in the dark for too long, the manner in which they didn't even know this is the parliamentary party, if a candidate was being run or not, and the sort of supposition you'll do as you're told and, you know, you don't have to be told. The level of consultation was, and I can see why they kept it tight, but it does promise to have a very exciting, you know, that's the medium-term implication. The shorter-term significance of today, Kieran, is that Jim Gavin has gone to odds-on favourite. It's his to lose. He has a couple of key advantages. Dublin, GAA, the largest community and voluntary organisation, the best-resourced campaign, I'd say, between party and Jim and everybody, 700 grand. While these election campaigns do throw up more skeletons than is in Glasnevin Cemetery, the fact of the matter is that, you know, anything can happen. Your past financial dealings, work dealings, intimacy, your siblings are all fair game. So while I'm saying it's his to lose, he could still lose it. But I do think the pivotal point of this election will be, and this has been the zeitgeist of Irish politics of the last 18 months, that the sum of the parts between transfers between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, whoever's ahead, means to me that it is going to be a two-horse race, I wouldn't rule out Michelle O'Neill standing.
Okay, I might ask you about that in a moment. Yeah, I spoke to somebody earlier who was involved with Fine Gael during Leo Varadkar's time, and he suggested likewise, that either Heather Humphreys would elect Jim Gavin or Jim Gavin would elect Heather Humphreys. Catherine Connolly is a non-contender then in your mind?
Yeah, I've never really felt that she would be in the final count. Good luck to her. I think there is a demand for a female presidency. And, you know, Jim Gavin's not a woman, which is a negative. And it's a negative for transfers from Connolly. But basically, some of the plus points he has that I've mentioned are really quite strong.
People would hardly transfer in big numbers from Connolly to Heather Humphreys, would they? Just by virtue of gender?
Well, there are some people who believe that we've had very distinguished female presidents, say Mary Robinson and McAleese, and they believe that that is, would be a good thing, given that the incumbent for the last 14 years has been male. But that is a valid point of view. The big hidden factor for me is this, that the nature of sports journalism is such that they're so delighted to get any interview with a sports superstar, not to speak a legend like Jim, they tend to be pretty supplicant. I think he's going to face into really kind of nasty, ugly territory, which would be designed to maybe appeal to his abrasive side and not suffer fools gladly, less of the plumos. So I think he will need to be trained really strongly just to keep smiling.
Before I let you go, because Fionnán Sheehan is with me and I want to get Fionnán's view on all of this as well. You mentioned Michelle O'Neill. I mean, what do you suspect Sinn Féin will do?
Well, I said all along that there was no prospect of Mary Lou standing. If you looked at if she won or if she lost, there were downside risks were too great for the party. I believe that they actually spent too long about ruminating about that. So you ask yourself, why are they leaving it till the 20th of September? And the leaving aside indecision, the only logical explanation I can come up with is if they were to run Michelle O'Neill, because she's got a day job at First Minister, they'd want to keep it as short a period as possible. I do believe that Michelle O'Neill will get votes that nobody else will get. It builds on their central narrative of a border poll and the last president, you know, in a South-only vote. So put it like this. I think that is still a possibility, but I'm presupposing that Sinn Féin are thinking strategically and smart. Maybe they're not.
Sorry, I did have one more question, and it's about a possible independent candidate. So we know Fine Gael of this diktat from on high that councillors are not to support anybody else. Fianna Fáil haven't officially said that, but yesterday Dundeary had a vote and Mayo had a vote, and that diktat was issued to those individual councils. Billy Kelleher as good as acknowledged on this show in the last hour that they're going to do the same for every other council in the country. Does that mean that that route is effectively shut down now?
But I think it was always shut down. From this point of view, I know you've got to do 2.5 hours of talk time Monday to Friday.
3 hours. The silly season. 3 hours.
You were 3 hours, yes.
You used to do it yourself season. And you've forgotten already.
Know, the silly season.
God, senility is an awful thing.
Sorry, I used to leave at 6:30 and pre-record the last bit. But the point of it is that you have to work for a living. But like essentially, all of that was hot air. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Sinn Féin, like the 525 out of 949 Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil councillors, it was always going to be a mountain to climb. Remember this, in 2018, FF and FG didn't have a candidate in the field. They're perfectly entitled not to facilitate anyone other than their own candidate. That's politics.
Lest anybody think Ivan was joking, many of the people sat in that train to Enniscorthy after 6:30, listening to Ivan on the earphones, only to see Ivan sitting across from them on the same train. Ivan, good to talk to you as always. Fionnán Sheehan is the Ireland editor with the Irish Independent, and he's with me as well. Fionnán, do you agree that Micheál Martin has been damaged by the level of support for Billy Kelleher?
Well, it's not the end. It's not the beginning of the end. It's very much the end of the beginning, though, in terms of Micheál Martin having kind of an element of supreme power over his party. You can argue this was the biggest revolt against him since 31 members of the party came out and said we're voting no on abortion, even though you want, effectively want us to vote yes. That was a free vote, though. He was, to be fair to him, as Ronan Mullen said at the time, giving Fianna Fáil an open vote so he could vote with his conscience himself. So it was quite obvious. Micheál Martin was going one direction and there was a large chunk of the party going elsewhere, but they got over that as soon as that result was out of the way. there were a combination of factors here, a fondness for Billy Kelleher and admiration for him, but very definitely a strong message sent to Micheál Martin about the manner in which he is running the party. A backbencher said to me today, if Micheál or somebody from his cohort had come out during the summer going, lads, it's under control, we know what we're doing here, we're talking to some serious people, they left a vacuum there into which Billy Kelleher literally waltzed into.
Campaign then, I guess, for Jim Gavin from a public-facing point of view gets underway today. He made a point of the fact that he has only been speaking to parliamentary party members because that's been the electorate up to now, but he's going to speak to everybody. He's going to visit every crossroads in the country. He did speak for a few minutes outside Leinster House. Had he anything interesting to say?
I counted 4 minutes, 20 seconds before Micheál Martin shut him up and dragged him off. So he says he's a centrist, he's a constitutional Republican. He voted yes on same-sex marriage. He voted yes on repeal the Eighth Amendment. He's proud to have served his country and his great belief in duty to your country. That's all great. Mm. What we're waiting to see, though, is what are Jim Gavin's views on general political issues such as Gaza, such as our nation's defence, as a former member of the Defence Forces, what's his view on the triple lock mechanism, for example? What's his view on multilateralism in the current period? What is his view on the constitutional role of the presidency? Because he talked about his three pillars were engaging with communities, opening up the Oras and representing the country abroad. And you kind of go, well, no, the main pillar, pal, is being the guardian of the constitution. He differs from all of our previous presidents, all of whom had some significant political, legislative or legal qualifications going for them. A combination of those. Mm. He doesn't have any of those to any great extent. So that's why he is a bit of a gamble from the Fianna Fáil perspective. So he's a couple of tasks at hand. He needs to introduce himself to large tracts of the country who don't necessarily know who he is. He's got a woman problem in the polling, in that it's quite clear that there is a male-female imbalance. He's getting twice as many men as women voting for him at the moment, based on the Sunday of the Men in Ireland Thinks poll at the weekend. And he also has to convince people that he has got a significant enough knowledge bank, expertise, credentials to carry out what is ultimately a very important constitutional role in this country. And not having a formal role in politics in the past, or not having any major legal credentials, counts against him in that regard. We need to know that who we're electing to office here knows the difference between an old political controversy that's going to go away in a few days, or an all-out constitutional crisis.
Okay, Jim Gavin's going to be on the ticket. Heather Humphrey's going to be on the ticket. Catherine Connolly is going to be. Very unlikely any independent will be. Would you agree with that?
I can't see them getting it through, and I would blame them, because I don't think those who were actually serious about it spent enough time building up ahead of steam for themselves across the summer.
Okay, so none of them would be on the ticket. Then the question is Sinn Féin. Who's going to be the... Might they support Catherine Connolly?
Yeah, I still think the issue with Catherine Connolly is that she doesn't really make a United Ireland a major part of her platform. And she would visit the Falls Road. It's not a raison d'etre for her. I think Sinn Féin have always looked upon this campaign as a way to get back to basics and to talk about the very reason that they exist, which is to advance the United Ireland. I'm not convinced of Michelle O'Neill. I think it will be one of their... a member of their parliamentary party who will... Rose Conway Walsh, Lynn Boyle, and Owen O'Brien, whoever the case may be, somebody who will fly the flag for Sinn Féin, will talk about United Ireland, will throw in hand grenades about the triple lock and make it difficult for Heather Humphreys and Jim Gavin in that regard, fly the flag for the party, and ultimately hope to get a respectable vote for them. Ultimately, they will have an impact, because a heavy-hitting Sinn Féin name will knock Catherine Connolly down.
Yes.
A fair to middling Sinn Féin name who's just flying the flag will boost Catherine Connolly because ultimately the transfers will go her way. What we did see from the general election, there's no indication that has changed, is that the strength of transfers on the left is not as good as it is on the right, where you're going to see the Fianna Fáil. There are two races here.
That idea of Jim electing Heather and her, yeah, or vice versa.
Heather doesn't need to beat everybody else. She just needs to stay ahead of Jim.
Yeah. All right. Listen, Fionnán, thanks for being Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.